Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents The Heart of the Order, your home for baseball and fantasy baseball with your host, me, Ralph Lark. And now, let's check in on The Heart of the Order.
Hey, let's talk baseball. It's your boy Ralph coming at you for another episode of The Heart of the Order. Time for some more baseball. What's up, y'all? Excited to be coming at you on this Friday with this brand new episode. Hopefully you've enjoyed the Heart of the Order's season preview series, and now that that's done, we're moving on. Special things today, but welcome back, everybody. Excited to be doing this episode. Excited to have baseball back. There's people in the stands. Things are happening. It's a great time to talk baseball, baseball fans. I'm going to say that word a couple more times because it sounds weird in my head. Anywho, you know who I am, you know how it goes, so you know that's normal, me being weird. It's your host, it's your boy, the guy who will get you all the right answers in DFS, or you can send me the hate mail. I'll read it, whatever you want to do. So, big hearty welcome to all of you first-time offenders. I love a hard head, so I also love the repeat offenders. We love criminals of all kind here. Just kidding, but as far as Tiger Bomb goes, repeat offenders and first-timers, welcome. Love you guys. Great place to catch a lot of different podcasts, not just The Heart of the Order, but if you're inclined or figuring out what the rest of those podcasts are, or maybe even taking a gander at this one on our website, here's how you do that. You can sashay yourself on over to www.tigerbombsae.com. If you were to do so, you'd be sashaying, first of all, so I'd call you out on that. But secondly, you would be checking out not only this podcast, but maybe What Happened, our true crime podcast. If you like that Netflix movie, or I guess documentary series, Hotel Cecil, about the hotel in L.A., maybe you'll like What Happened. We covered that hotel literally a couple of weeks before that came out. Didn't even know Netflix was doing it. Me and my co-host Rosalie covered it because she lives next door to that thing, or did at one point. So we had this grand view of talking about it from her perspective as having lived there while it was going on, as it happened, right? So, you can check out something like that, or even the process as we turn back to football, getting towards the fall. All right. So, that's our website. There's a couple other ways to connect with us. If you guys like listening to your podcast on the go, well, then don't let me stop you. Don't stop listening to us on the go. Keep doing what you want to do, man. You could search for Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment anywhere that you listen to your podcast. Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, some other weird thing, not that. I don't know why, but like literally a good percentage of you all do that. So you just search for Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment, however you fancy in your podcasting listening to world. You should be able to find us pretty easily. Let me know if you can't. You could let me know if you can by emailing us, theheartoftheorder@tigerbombsae.com. That would be a perfect way for us to connect and figure out if I can't get onto your listening platform, as long as it is not extraterrestrial. I wonder if I can get out there that far, y'all. What else should we talk about? Oh, maybe you're a social media person, right? You could take a break from your hashtags and all of that, and you can follow the Heart of the Order. What do you think about that? How about that? Twitter, you can find us by searching at HOTBSAE, and then on Facebook, it's at Heart of the Order, the number one, at Heart of the Order one. Those are the best ways to keep up with us and get access to this podcast. If you listen on the website, you get those fancy DFS tips that I have down there just engraved in stone for you. They're like our Ten Commandments of DFS, right? I love that movie, History of the World, you know, where, you know, Mel Brooks says Moses come down and he's like, the Lord gave us these 15, and they drop one tablet. 10 commandments he gave us. Fantastic stuff. Based on the truth, so far as the good book tells us. Anywho, let's keep it moving along on Easter weekend here. Now that we've got the goods out of the way, this is about the DFS primer. That's the whole point of the show, is that we go over some specific DFS tips. Now, once I've given you a familiarity for those teams, like we did in the preview, now we can sort of put together some concepts, because that's better than me telling you day by day the players, right? We can go over some of that stuff today if you want. I do have some, I can tell you what I did. The slate's just getting underway. I haven't even seen what's happening, but we can go over that if you guys like. But more importantly, the process is what we're talking about today, even though this is the heart of the order. Hey, we'll see what I did right there. Wouldn't even expect him to do that. So why don't we slide right along into doing that? I think that's probably where we go from here, folks. Okay. So the 2021 season, you know, we got a full schedule, first of all. So big difference from last year with the truncated schedule. And so there's a lot more baseball. Let's just start, first of all, by talking about why you would listen to the Heart of the Order. Let me take a big swig first. Oh, yeah, it's Friday. I'm a weekend warrior, so enjoying that a little sip. So here's the gist of it, guys. Why would you listen to the Heart of the Order? Not a whole lot of everyday baseball. Not a whole lot of statistics for the diehard baseball. So what's the application here? This is for somebody who may be a casual baseball fan, a little bit more than a casual baseball fan. I think somebody who loves baseball or who enjoys it diehard could probably enjoy this. But I think to get the most out of the Heart of the Order, there needs to be a sort of a daily fantasy tinge to it for you. Not seasonal. We don't really do that here. Guys, I tried it. Try to get friends involved. Friends try to get me involved. It just wouldn't stick across the board. And so we move on and we digress into the daily fantasy world. So you listen to the Heart of the Order. If you like baseball and you want to know who's going to win, probably for daily fantasy purposes. So for seasonal purposes, could that work too? Probably. Yep. But we're queuing in on the process of how to get to the best players each day. Now, why DFS? Why bother, right? And here's my strategy behind this. Actually, to answer that question, we need to start at the baseline strategy that I have, which is not to throw a bunch of money at this thing and hope it kabooms into a bank of riches for me. It's not about that. This is about a steady build strategy. And so the basis of why DFS, why bother, is first of all, entertainment factor if you like baseball, but maybe you haven't been doing this. If you like sports, but maybe you haven't been doing this. It's daily, and so there's a lot of excitement on that front. But again, I guess what I mean to say is we've all been stuck at home. It's been quarantine, not a lot to do. You're looking for ways to keep things exciting and new for you. Baseball provides that with DFS. If this is your thing, what's more exciting than having a little bit of money on the line every single day for baseball? So you spend some portion of the day doing your research, getting ready, and then the next portion of the day, the fun part, is the slate. Now, if you've invested in some app or something like I have, because I'm in Los Angeles, but I'm a Chicago White Sox fan, so I have the MLB app so I can watch those games, it becomes very enticing to then have that or pay for that, because now you're invested, right? You're trying to make the best plays of the game, but now it matters to you what happens in the Marlins versus Tampa Bay game or the Giants versus Mariner game, right? Whatever the case may be. You've got something at goal or at stake, and so it's an easier watch, if you will. And so the thing about it is we need to find ways to entertain ourselves right now. Our back's up against the wall. We can't do the things we normally would do. More importantly, a lot of people can't spend a lot of money on entertainment right now. You know, things are tight for a lot of people because of COVID-19 and everything. Like, we need to, like, all this plays into that. How can I have the most fun and preferably do it, you know, for the most affordable price? Not to say you won't, you know, go out responsibly and have a nice dinner or maybe do something else or buy your kid a toy or whatever, or do something nice for your wife or buy something off Amazon, whatever. But what I'm talking about is the sheer sensation and entertainment of taking a sum of money, doing some research, investing that into what's going to happen today, and then watching it all unfold. Now, the nice part about this is if somebody is on the budget, they want to do this cheaply, these apps have like a minimum entry. So it's like $10, I think, pretty much on both apps, FanDuel, DraftKings, which are the dominant ones. And so the baseline of what I talked to you guys about for DFS, why bother entertainment on the cheap, is for $10, I can give you an entertaining night. For $10, I can make you work for that $10. You have the luck, you have the hope of making it more than $10 at the end of the day. Baseball is along for this ride of you maybe having more than $10 at the end of the day. And this whole activity puts your brain to use while you do the research, you crunch the numbers a little bit. So you're having this activity, this activeness about it, right? Like you're earning this $10 earlier in the day. And then at night you get to watch it, the payoff of the things you said would happen happens, and seeing if you can make that $10 go into something else. That is a huge allure. That's a huge allure of playing DFS. So the $10 essentially bought you a whole day's worth of entertainment when you think about how much time you spent researching and then watching, right, and enjoying. So this is what we're talking about. I don't know anything else where you can, you know, almost for $10, or let's say you don't even play the whole $10 in one day. You play $5 a day, right? I've got guys doing that. That's fine. What else are you going to do that's cost you $5 and you're going to have fun for like 7 hours when you clued in, like, you know, watching as well as maybe like research, right? 5 hours, maybe 4 hours, whatever, 3 hours. But what else are you going to do for $5 that's going to be fun for that time? Right? So that's the real bottom of the barrel reason why anybody would want to be interested in DFS if you like baseball. I can't think of a better bang for your buck, especially now that we're all sitting at home during COVID. So a steady build is what you want, because again, like I said, we're watching our dollars. This isn't like somebody who's going to throw in $200 as their first deposit and then just kind of play till they squander it. Nope. We want to go to the lowest point that they let us deposit, and we want to build it up for there. So my strategy specifically is for that. If you're the Wall Street dude who doesn't know very much about baseball, but you got the $100 every night to throw down because you just got it and you got 10 minutes before your next meeting, this ain't for you. I mean, it could be for you, but more importantly, this is for the person who wants to invest $10 and build up an empire. That's what we're trying to do right here. That's what I'm trying to do right here. That's what I'm trying to teach you guys to do. So step number one is set a goal. You got to have a tangible goal that you want to work towards. For me, personally, this goal last year was win enough money to pay for DFS football, and that's going to be the goal again this year. So what I'm saying is I want to have a dollar amount that I will not go over, that I'm going to stick to here, and I want to use that throughout the course of this baseball season to win enough money to play daily fantasy football completely free. That's what I want to do. As a stretch goal, I want to be able to play seasonal football free too from winnings. So that's my stretch goal. But those are my goals. So that's when I say something tangible, that's something to reach for. There's a finite dollar amount that I need to do that. It's not, well, I want to make all the money I can, right? So you need to have a tangible goal. That's step one. Win enough to pay for football. It's reasonable too. Football's a little bit, I think I'm better in baseball. The numbers have proven it. Baseball, you know, gets a little less attention than football. Football's got a few more sharks. It's harder too for a lot more reasons, but fun nonetheless. But anyways, it's always more of a, like, I'm trying to break even or just end positive there. Here, no, I want to have buku winnings to pay for all the losing that I feel may happen there. Not all the losing, I want to put that, but it's like, I struggle to break even sometimes. Now, don't get me wrong. You play a whole football season, and you broke even on DFS football. You can't be mad about that. You didn't lose money, right? But we want to win. That's the thing, right? So, set my goal. Win enough to play football. You need to commit acceptable amount for your payroll, whether it's all up front or weekly or whatever. So, you need to stick to this, right? Once you get to that limit, you need to stay at that limit. If you do this, this will make your decision-making process better from the times you can't play, because there is a definite penalty for you not sticking to your financial budget, you not being able to play. And so you're going to trust me. You're going to put the heat on yourself to make those, make that research count, make those picks count, and you're going to be more definitive about your decisions, whether it's good or bad. That's what I want for you. Don't be finicky. Don't rely on me. Don't rely on anybody else. This whole thing is about getting you empowered to make the correct decision. So commit acceptable amount for your payroll. I'm going to spend this much this day. I'm going to spend this much this year. I'm going to invest all this right now, and just, you know, if it whittles down, it whittles down. Or I'm going to invest only so much each week, and then I'll stop if I do more than that. I'm going to play Monday through Friday, never more than this amount. Figure it out. Make it tangible. The next step is real important, too. Take money out. You have to take money out. You need to get familiar with the sensation of winning, what that feels like, the procedure of that. Trick your mind and your psyche into understanding, I am a winner. This is what we do. We habitually take money out. I don't need to just know how to deposit money in the DraftKings. I want to be familiar and be able to walk you through taking money out. Oh, you're going to take money out? You go to this button here. It's like this. I do it all the time. You want to go here? You want to hit that? It takes X amount of days. You usually they say it's blah, 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 blah. You need to know that. Take money out. So far, you've got listen to the harder order. You know why you would play DFS. You understand what the strategy is. You're going to set a goal. You're going to commit acceptable amount to this goal. You're going to take money out and rinse and repeat and rinse and repeat and rinse and repeat. You feel me? Okay. 2020 was a weird year. And so if guys were better than or worse than normal, we've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. Guys couldn't look at film, for example, last year due to protocols. There's just some things that was different, right? So we can't let the year be anything more than an anomaly, which you guys will remember when you want a player with negative stats to you want to pick them anyway. You won't have a problem remembering that. But you need to remember that when a guy had a better 2020 than he did any other year, and you want to keep applying that to him. Remember that. This is important for you to understand because a lot of what I've been doing so far is like, okay, let's say you missed 2020 as a player. Then I'm going to look at your stats and I'm going to look at 2019 and be okay with what they say you are. If you played 2020, it's an anomaly year. I'm going to look at 2019 too to sort of see, does it mirror it or is it drastically different? I'm just doing that in the beginning of the season here so I get about 2 weeks of data and then we want to start working off of that, right? But to get you going, that's a little fairer, I think, in my estimation. Now, this leads us to a point that I was going to leave out, but I got to make it. It's an easy point. Fangraphs. You should rely on Fangraphs. That they have everything. They have more stats than I use. Maybe you want to use different stats than I use. But my whole point is Fangraphs has this accumulation of the data in a way that makes it manageable to digest. That's what we need. I don't want to do calculations. I don't want to go to 14 different sites to get this stat here and that stat there and that stat ranked there. FanDuel has it all. I can't play DFS without having FanDuel, period. I use it to look up everybody's statistics. It is the absolute mechanism that drives my success. The format in which they put it in is unparalleled in my opinion, and it's not an exaggeration to say my DFS career would be in dire straits if they were to do away with FanDuel. Or I'm sorry, Fangraphs. So maybe I think you should listen to it a little bit or watch it a little bit. Or I'd rather go to that site a little bit, if you will. Fangraphs, fangraphs.com. I don't work for them, I swear. But I'm just telling you what I know to be true. Now, offensive stats we care about. Now you're at FanDuel, right? You know why you're playing. You know what you're playing for. You know how much you want to play. You got all that situated. You know where to go to play. Now you're there. What are you looking for? What are you looking at? What's here? Splits. It's the key to it for me, guys. Splits. I'm looking at splits a lot of the times. If we talk about offensive stats, right? Let's start with this. Offensive stats we should care about. For these batters, I want to know the splits. This batter versus lefties. This batter versus righties. At home, batter versus lefty. At home, batter versus righty. In a way, batter versus lefty. In a way, batter versus righty. So whichever the application is for that day, I'm looking at that, okay? I'm considering the average, the batting average, but only as it relates to WOBA. So I want, like, you know, like, if you have a good WOBA but a bad batting average, I would still consider you, right? But a bad WOBA and a bad batting average, I won't consider you, okay? Or good WOBA, or good batting average and a bad WOBA, I think that would be weird. I don't know. I wouldn't consider you. So that's what I mean by I say I consider the average, but as it relates to WOBA. Let's talk about WOBA. I realize some of you may not know what this is. You can look this up. You will see this stat on all the players. You know, so WOBA is based on a simple concept. And I've got this from Fangraphs because they explain it the best too. Not all hits are created equal. Batting average assumes that they are. On-base percentage does too, but does one better by including other ways of reaching base, such as walking or being hit by a pitch. Slugging percentage weights hits, but not accurately. A double isn't really worth twice as much as a single. In short, if you want to get technical. And again, ignores other ways of reaching base. On-base plus slugging percentage, so OPS, does attempt to combine the different aspects of hitting into one metric, but it assumes that one percentage point of slugging is the same as that of OBP. And in reality, a handy estimate is that OBP is around twice as valuable than slugging. The exact ratio is somewhere around 1.8. In short, OPS is asking the right question, but we can arrive at a more accurate number quite easily. Weighted on-base average combines all the different aspects of hitting into one metric, weighting each of them in proportion to their actual run value. While batting average, on-base percentage, and slugging percentage fall short in accuracy and scope, WOBA measures and captures offensive value more accurately and comprehensively. That is a stat that I pay attention to every day. It's a key batting stat, batting metric that I will use to help project where I want to be. ISO is the next one we need to go over. ISO is useful because two players with identical batting averages can have very different seasons, and two players with the same slugging percentages can be very different, have very different seasons. Even if you hold walks, plate appearances, park effects, and luck constant. A 300 average with very few extra base hits is quite different from a 300 average with 40 home runs. The same is true of a 500 slugging percentage that is driven by many singles versus one driven by lots of doubles and home runs. ISO tells you the average number of extra bases a player gets per at-bat, and this is a piece of information you want to know. You want to know what share of a player's hits and singles are, you know, what share of a player's hits and singles are singles, and what share are base hits, basically. Extra base hits, excuse me. What share of their hits are singles and what share are extra base hits? Sorry, I don't know why I can't talk right now. I'll take a sip. The same is true of a 500 slugging percentage that is driven by many singles versus one driven by lots of doubles and home runs. You want to know what share of a... Oh, I just went over that. I'm sorry, guys. Okay, so ISO doesn't tell you anything you can't learn from average and slugging altogether, but it saves you a step, right? How to use ISO. Using ISO is very simple. It tells you the number of extra bases the player averages per at-bat and signals to you the degree to which a particular hitter is a power hitter. Around a 140 is a league average, and hitters in the 200-plus range are typically the premier sluggers. However, you need to be careful because not all 200 ISO are created equally. A 250 average and a 450 slugging and a 350 average and a 550 slugging both return ISOs of 200 because both batters have the same rate of extra base hits per at bat, even though the latter hitter is clearly the better player overall. Very important to note. Now, it's also important to know that ISO is not park or league adjusted, so batters would do better in hitters' parks and when the league's run environment is higher. Additionally, ISO is not a measure of value in that a triple is not worth 50% more than a double. If you want something that weighs each hit properly, then you want to do WOBA. This is why I look at ISO and WOBA together. K percentage as well. How much is this guy striking out? So again, I'm starting to create a profile. WOBA, batting average, ISO, how's he profile versus lefties? How's he profile versus righties? Okay. Does he strike out a lot, right? Try not to look too deep. There's a lot of stats on Fangraph. Try not to look too deep. It'll just take up time and confuse you. So you want to use the KISS method here. Keep it simple, stupid. Pitching stats we care about. Let's move on to that. Let's talk about that. Pitching stats we care about. There's a couple pitching stats we care about here. Average against, but only as it relates to WOBA against, for the same reasons as we went over with the batters. And the splits thereafter, right? So, pitcher versus left-hander splits. Pitcher versus right-handed batter splits. At home, pitcher versus left-hander splits. Pitcher versus right-hander splits. Away, right? So I'm looking at those splits in determining like what the WOBA is in each scenario, what the batting average is in each scenario. In Fangraph, they do it nicely for you by making these two side by side. When you're looking at this pitcher's statistics, you see everything is chalked up for you. So don't look at the totals. You want to look at splits. There's a tab that you hit that says splits. The first tab will say season average. But there's another tab on each page for a player because you would enter in a player's name to get to his page. And then you want to hit splits when you're on that page because, as you see, I'm splitting the information a lot. Looking at season totals does not help you. We want to know more specifically what is happening, lefty or righty, away or home. We want to also look at, for the pitchers, the K through 9 percentage, looking for a healthy, right? We need strikeout guys. That's how you get points, right? So we need looking for a healthy K through 9 and K percentage, whether that's at home or away. How's that look out, right? So you want to get to know who your guys are. Oh, man, this guy turns it up on the road. This guy turns it up at home, right? You start to get and understand the profile if you're doing this day after day after day because there's so many baseball games. And so over the course of the season, you understand before you research more of what you'll see, and so it requires less time. It's only going to require more time in the beginning. But if you keep at it, you familiarize yourself with the stats and the way they're trending, and you know how to react. All right, so glance at the walks, walks through nine. I glance at that. If it's something that is crazy, I want to take that into note. But it's probably the last thing I look at of all these other things. I want those strikeouts. If you're going to give me a lot more strikeouts than walks, I almost don't even care. So that's why I say I glance at that. Let's talk about DFS game selection now. Now we got to get into all of this. And again, not going to discourage you from playing on one site, FanDuel or DraftKings, or both, right? You can do both. Biggest difference between these sites is on FanDuel, you use one pitcher. On DraftKings, you use both. So maybe if you feel good about two pitchers on the day, you could do that on DraftKings. Remember, on DraftKings, you want to have one high-end stud and one value pitcher that's going to pay off. Don't pay up for two pitchers. You lose. And then if you just feel good about one guy, but you play both sites, maybe just play FanDuel that day, or maybe just a FanDuel guy like me in general. So those are the two sites primarily. There's other sites, of course. I wouldn't discourage anybody from playing there. Now, as far as the DFS game selection, how much? Remember, we talked about what dollar amount you want to spend each day, and so you know that money, right? So you got that money deposited. What games? We want to do tournament and cash games because those are the two options. Tournaments are obviously where it's like, you know, maybe one person wins a whole bunch of money in a large field of people, or like top 10 win or something like that. Cash games are a little bit more equitable. It's like half of us can win, right? Or double up, where it's like, like half of the people can double up their money, right? But half of the people don't. Or it's like a 50-50 game where it's like half of the people, win the cash prize and half of them don't. Think about it. If you're in a tournament where only 10 people win, but there's 10,000 players, then you're going to covet those 10 spots, and they're probably going to be larger payouts for those 10 players, right? But let's say you have a contest of 10,000 people where it's like a double up, so half the people win, you know, double their money. So then 5,000 people can win. That's a lot easier, right? So when we talk about playing DFS, we got to talk about the split in which we play these games. You want to do a 30-70 split, 30% tournament, 70% cash. Those cash games are what's going to build your lineup up, right? If we're going to be good enough to beat half of the Jamokes out there every day. That's the point of this. And so we want to take advantage of that by only using a little bit of our money to throw at the tournament. That's like the lottery ticket, right? It's like the if you have that really good lineup that day, then it's going to blow up and maybe you win a tournament. But all your eggs mostly need to be in the 50-50 or the cash game baskets, I say. Not 50-50, could be, but cash game baskets. So a 70-30 split is healthy. So again, at the top of the show, we talked about you've already known what that dollar amount is that you're going to spend, you know, for each day. And so now you split that dollar amount up accordingly. So if it was $10, right, like I'm not saying it has to be. I'm just saying if it was $10 according to our 70-30 split, because again, many people will play less than that. I don't have a problem with that. You could get away with doing this with $5 if you want. But again, 70-30 split. So of that $10, seven of it you would donate to $1 cash games, like 50-50s, like or double ups where you win, you know, $2 if you win. And then $3 of that you could put into tournaments, right? So you could do three $1 tournaments or maybe a $3 tournament where it's like the payout is such and such, right? For if you get into the high tournament winner results. So that's how you structure what you do. The tournament is the way people always think about DFS. It's like the get-rich-quick scheme, right? We can't make money doing that and that alone every day. We can't make money if we do that half the time even. You need to stick to this 70-30 split. The 30 is your taste, right? Every night you got to crack at it, man. That's your home run every night. So you're having that much fun too, because any night could be your night. But the big night is going to be, in terms of every night, winning these cash games. The easy thing, the 70% of your money going over to beating half the people. Half these people shouldn't be playing anyway. There are people who don't know. There are people who are doing this for the first time. There are people with jobs that allow them to have disposable income who really aren't great players. We can be better than all of those people. And so everybody else is not that much left. And so the cash games is where you want to clean up and build a bankroll that you can then use to start doing more cash games so you can start doing more tournaments. Number of people that you want to stick to in a game, about 100. I love 100. For those tournaments, I like about 100 people. You know, maybe 200, 300, something like that. I want to keep it manageable. I want to be manageable. 10,000, 50,000 people in a that's an arena. You're not, that's like being like, I got the raffle ticket there. Come on, man. Stick to what you know. And most people won't stick to that, like I say, because they want to win the $10,000 or the $100,000, whatever. It's like, it's a pipe dream. But if you can be patient and if you can play a contest that's only got like 271 people in it and just be happy if you win like $172 that night, then I'm going to show you how you would build this thing up from the ground up. So about 100 people thereabouts. I understand you can't really hover at that exactly sometimes. And then for the 50-50s and cash games and stuff like that, more is fine because it's just math. Doesn't matter how many people we put in a pool. If we, you know, if we keep adding more and more people, it's going to be easier for us if we actually are better than half of the people that play. Right? Like if there's a smaller amount of players, there's a chance that, you know, the ratio could maybe not work in our favor. Like if we're only playing with 10 people, I don't know, it could be 10 sharks, right? It could be 9 sharks and me. And then it's like, oh, well then I'm not going to win this 50-50. But what if it's like 100 people? It's like, okay, better chances. What if it's 10,000 people? No, better chances of being better than half of them. What if it's 100,000 people? No, I'm going to be better than half of these friggin' people, right? The key to this is single entry to make sure we're facing different people. I do not do multiple entry. I don't do it. Even with this tournament, I want one single bullet. Just because you have $150 doesn't mean you get to throw it all in one contest against my one lineup. So single entry, right? Number of people, it's 100 or thereabouts for the tournaments. You want manageable tournament wins. 50-50s and cash games, stuff like that, you know, doesn't matter how many people, you can just keep playing that game because we will be better than half of these people. You got to be okay with sticking to those tournament limits, though, thereabouts. I think when I finally hit my stride, it incidentally wasn't on FanDuel. It was actually back in my DK days. There was a contest that was exactly 100 people. It was a $1 contest. It's single entry. And that was my money maker. And I would go into DraftKings several times a day because once it would fill up, then they would populate the same contest again, right? So I would have that contest maybe five times that day. Or that evening, rather. And then so if I win them all, it's like, yeah, you won $500, right? It's like not hard to do if you guys try it my way. That's a lot easier than thinking you're going to win $500 in some random tournament because you invested a buck into it. That's harder to do. But if you stick to this other thing that I'm telling you, we will all be fine. That's the bulk of what I wanted to share with you guys. I've been excited to get that information to you because it's way more valuable than me going over specifics in terms of use this guy, don't use that guy. This is the keys to the kingdom for you folks if you were. You know, good luck with today. I'll just throw out some names off the top of my head. I don't have price points and all that stuff, but, you know, Austin Meadows, Brandon Lowe. I like Trevor Story, Charlie Blackman today, a little mini stack. Betts and Belly, I like them out in the Dodgers land today. Tim Anderson, Yasmani Grandal, I like them. Trout and Rendon, I like them. I like Suzuki today. I don't think he's out. Really like Tim Anderson, though. Mark Canna, Correa, Jordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, Ketel Marte, Eduardo Escobar, really like Ketel Marte. Johnny Cueto, really like him tonight. Austin Slater, yeah, Yastrzemski, Solano, Evan Longoria, it's Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, Will Myers, Jurgensen Profar, Dubon, Michael Dubon. Those are the guys I like today. I was trying to make lineups that fit in all those guys depending on the prices and where they were. So hopefully you guys do better than I do. But now you know the process. If you have questions, you know all the ways to get in contact with me. Please lay them on me. But hopefully I'm empowering you guys to go out and win some money, much in the way that I've been doing. And if you think you can add anything to what I'm doing, obviously I want to hear that. If you think it'll be helpful, go watch some baseball. Enjoy opening day weekend. Peace.
The Heart of the Order is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment, LLC.